Numbers 13, verse 25 through 33. I want to deal with something tonight that I think will help you if you'll listen. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation that showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight, and so we were in their sight." Father, we ask you to bless your word and anoint your minister tonight. Dear God, hide us behind the cross. Anoint us, anoint every heart and every ear to hear and receive your word tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, we'll praise you for it. And all the people said, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you a little bit about the grasshopper complex. The grasshopper complex. Now, we're just going to relax and enjoy the Word of God and some thoughts and things for you. But I want you to get it. Now, I know that one of the greatest discoveries we can make is to find out the difference of why the 2 spies and 10 spies gave the different reports. They all saw the same thing. All 12 of the spies had faith. All of them had faith, one way or other. But the 2 of them had faith in God, and the others had faith in the giants. 2 of them saw the fruits. The other 10 saw the giants and paid no attention to the fruit. But there is such thing as a grasshopper complex in the Christian world today, and in our lives we can have it. I think we're all plagued with a little bit of it at times. And notice what they said: "We were as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in theirs." Now, that was an opinion. God's word didn't say they were grasshoppers. That's why we have to be careful in reading God's word. It's not what it says totally, but who's talking and who it's talking to. When one fellow said something to me about a scripture that was taken out of context, I said, "How do you know that that's true?" He said, "Well, the Bible said it." And to provoke thought, make him, I think, but I said, "Don't you know that the Bible's full of lies?" And he said, "Oh, Brother Callahan, don't say that. That's almost blasphemy." I said, "No, it isn't. Lies are recorded in the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, doesn't lie, but people lied, and the Bible recorded it to show what kind of people that God was dealing with and what he did. Ananias and Sapphira, didn't they lie to the Holy Ghost in the 5th chapter of Acts? Right? You cannot take the scripture and just read it straight across and say every word and every line in there applies to me. There's some things in there that does not apply to me. It's examples for me, but there's some promises in there that's not to me. There's some curses in there that's not to me. Amen? So, we see then that the greatest story we can find is in seemingly in the book of Numbers, if we'll just look at it, when Moses was the leader of the Israelites, and he was bringing them out of Egypt, which is actually the failure zone, and he was bringing them into the land of Canaan, which is the success zone. God never created any of us to fail. You think God gets the glory or is blessed out of failures? No. God is not blessed out of failures. He never created any of us to fail. Amen? And so we must realize that. So Canaan is a symbol of our dreams. It's not a symbol of heaven. It's a symbol of our dreams, our goals, our places of victories, the things that we desire to do for God. It's a success territory. It's not heaven. Because some people, as a child, I heard people talking about Canaan and talking about being heaven. When we get cross over Jordan, we're going to heaven. No, Canaan is the promised land. Because there were giants in Canaan, and there will be no giants as enemies in heaven. Amen? So this was a natural battle that they were fighting to receive the inheritance that God had given them. See, we forget sometimes that God gives us an inheritance in the natural as well as the spiritual. God realizes we live in a fleshly body, and we have to have the blessings of the natural to sustain the natural body. We have to have the blessings of the spiritual to sustain the spiritual body. Amen? So we see the difference then. So Canaan is a symbol of our goals. God intended for us to have those goals and those things that he desires to give us. Now, Abraham's dream was a son, Isaac. He looked forward to that promised son that God was going to bless him through. And Joseph had a dream to be a prime minister and to be ruler, as God had given him a dream. And he saw all the sun, all the stars bowing to him, all the sheaves bowing to his sheave, and all the stars giving obedience unto him. And he dreamed to be a prime minister. He made it. He had to go through some things to get there, but he made it. And so he got into his Canaan land when he got to be a prime minister. So Moses sent the 12 spies out to scout and to review the land before entering into it. Now this is a lesson that I think a lot of us need to take. When we start to do something or take the land for God, it'd be good if we scouted a little more before we got involved. And it'd be good if we scouted it rather secretly or privately. Amen? It's not always good to tell the devil or the world everything you're planning to do. I saw a lot of things go down the drain because I talked about it too quick. And Satan will cause it to miscarry if you don't watch. He don't know everything, but when we tell him what we're going to do, we better have sure that we've scouted the land, that we're able to do it, and God's behind it. Hello? These are examples we must take. And so he sent them out, and the men saw the land, rich in milk and honey and grapes, pomegranates, all the fruits it was rich in. He saw them. But he saw the others saw the giants. Now, the giants were there. When they came back, the reports was contradictory, because one looked through the grapes and saw the giants. Others looked through the giants and saw the grapes. So your report is according to what you see. I think it's time that Grace Cathedral, and I'm going to talk to you tonight. I think it's time that Grace Cathedral quits trying to analyze and find out what's wrong and see what's right through what's wrong. Amen? I think it's time that we quit looking through what's good and right and finding what's wrong and bad. And start looking through what's good, what's wrong and bad, and find out what's good and right. A lot of good things happening, a lot of right things going on, but if you listen to the devil, he'll show you all the bad things and not let you see one of the good ones. 10 good people can be working, and one can mess up, and you'll always notice that one that messes up. put 25 children together. 24 of them can be good, but you have one little honorary ward in there, and he's the one that everybody notices. They don't say about the 24 good ones, but they'll tell how honorary that little one is. I think we need to change some of that. So Joshua and Caleb, their faith was living in not ignoring the obvious, but it was in recognizing the living God. Now, I'm not teaching you that you don't see the giants. I'm not teaching you, neither does the Bible teach, that if you ignore something, it'll go away. We don't lie about something to say we're believing. If you've got cancer, and you know you've got cancer, then you don't go around petting the cancer, but you neither do you go around and saying, no, it's not there. As I've said time and time again, you must call in help to overcome sickness. Hello? You don't curse the darkness, you turn the lights on. You don't go around noticing sickness all the time. You call in health. And that comes through God's word. Praise the Lord. So you have faith and not doubting. Some people think that if you recognize a problem or situation, that you're admitting doubt. But that's incorrect. You can't go on ignoring a problem you have in your home. You got to deal with it. If you got a family problem, recognize it, get some help, and deal with it. Don't go ahead and say, no, everything's all right, everything's fine, everything's fine. Deal with it and say, everything's fine in the name of the Lord, and then deal with your problem. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul admitted once that Satan had hindered him in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, and also 1 Peter 5 and 8. Peter spoke of an adversary, and Jesus also in Matthew 4 dealt with the devil. We've got the devil to deal with. We've got problems to deal with. Amen? We've got things that we have to look at and have to deal with, and they're reality. They're there. You got a headache, you got a headache. Now, you may not like this kind of teaching totally, because I know there's teaching saying, don't ever confess you've got anything. Don't go around confessing it. It's true. But if you got a headache, you got a headache. It doesn't matter how much you lie about it, saying, I don't have a headache, it's not going to cause it to go away. What's going to cause it to leave is faith in God. When you believe that healing is flowing through your body, then Jesus is manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and the headaches and sicknesses of the devil. Don't mean you got a devil in you, but it's the works of the devil. If he'd never got his foot loose, then we wouldn't have all these things. So ignoring these things does not cause them to go away. Can you say amen? So the difference was that the 10 had faith in the giants and the 2 had faith in God. The difference was the 10 saw themselves as they thought they were, and the 2 saw themselves as God thought they were. There's a difference in how you think you are and how God thinks you are. 10 were giant conscious and 2 were God conscious. Do we see God everywhere, or do we see giants everywhere? Do we see peace and happiness everywhere? See, the Bible tells us that God fills the whole universe. His glory is everywhere. That's what the Word of God said. You can find it, or you can see the giants, because there's giants, there's enemies everywhere. But the 10 came back moaning and said, did you see the size of those giants? But Joshua and Caleb came back licking their lips and saying, did you see the size of those grapes? Did you taste the flavor of those grapes? Did you see the fruits it's worth fighting for? Oh, my friend, if we'll get our eyes on the fruits, it's worth battling for. But if we get our eyes on the devil or the giants or the problems, then there's nothing to fight for. We're defeated. You have to make yourself do this. You wasn't born naturally to do this. I wasn't born naturally to do this. It takes a supernatural power of God and the Word of God flowing through us. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You got to hear the Word to have faith. And the best way I can hear the Word, Brother Hyle, is to hear it coming out of me when it's been put in there. Hear it coming out. When I hear it coming out of my lips or coming through my spirit when Satan attacks, it builds faith. Amen? It was put in by somebody else talking. But usually somebody else quoting the Word doesn't inspire me to believe when I'm really in a valley. But when I can feel that and hear that, Sister Wendell, in my spirit, coming out of my spirit, then I can raise up and believe God because I've heard the promise. It's coming out of me. Otherwise, it's got to be a part of you. Amen? So we see the 10 were grasshoppers, the 2 were giant killers and grape tasters. Amen. I like that. I look at Samson so much. He didn't tell everybody about the battle he had and the carcass of the lion. He didn't even tell them where he got the honey. Killed the lion, went on down after his inheritance, came back a few days later, swarm of bees, and as he went back down to get his inheritance, he stopped by to see the lion's carcass, what happened to it, and behold, there was a swarm of bees that built a honeycomb in there. He took out that dead carcass of that lion, out of the honeycomb, honey in his hands, and went on eating and passed the honey to his mom and dad, and the Bible said he didn't tell them where he got it. You know, there's been so many stinks and rumors and stories about Pentecost that no wonder a lot of people are afraid of Pentecostal name. If we'd passed the honey and left the rumors, the carcass laying still in the battles, there'd been a lot more people licking the honey. Amen? It would leave the problem. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, well, that church is always working to get people. I said, don't knock it. I don't believe in proselyting, but if Grace Cathedral will get alive and get some excitement to pass some honey and invite people and get excited about, hey, you ought to come over to our church. Hey, you ought to come see what's going on. People are going to come see what's going on. People excite people. Hello? 85% of people that come to Sunday school come because some friend got excited and invited them to come with them. That's a proven fact. Praise the Lord. Now, you don't have to say amen, but it helps. You don't have to breathe, but you'll die if you don't. Amen? So, you'll never reach the palace talking like a peasant. Say it again. Wisdom. You'll never reach the palace talking like a peasant. Oh, I'm just nobody. I'm nothing. I'm worth nothing. And we feel like that. Sometimes we really feel that way. But we can't live that way. We must get out of that. Your conversation will reveal whether you are a victor or a victim. Your conversation lets people know. So we see losers major on their problems, but winners talk about their possibilities. Amen? All things are possible to him that believes what the Word of God says. Losers discuss their obstacles, but winners talk about their opportunities. I get so amazed at listening to people talk about their sickness. If you ever get two or three people talking about their sickness, they'll have you have it described, and you'll have it before you get away. Because you've got some Simpsons that acts just like theirs, and you're taking the same pill, blue on one end and yellow on the other one. And they'll describe their pill, and they'll describe all about it, and it seems to be more conversation about that than the Lord is able to heal. I'm reminded of the preacher minister's retreat, said after he'd been preaching about a year and first started, he thought he'd preached everything in the book. He's crying and praying one day, Lord, what can I preach? Lord, what can I preach? I preached everything I know. What can I tell the people? And said after he'd cried and prayed and whimpered around for about an hour, the Holy Spirit just spoke to him. Jesus spoke to him through the Holy Spirit and said, you can tell them about me. And I thought, how beautiful. That's the one we need to be telling about anyways, Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, losers talk disease. Winners talk about health. Losers talk about the devil's achievements. Winners talk about God's victories. Listen to people's conversation and tell where the loser or win. Losers talk like victims. Winners talk like victors. Losers have a slave ship mentality. Winners have a sonship mentality. Praise God, I am the Son of God. Behold, what manner of the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. John puts it like this. John didn't even like for it to be called a servant. He said, because Jesus taught his disciples and said, if you do what I command you, you're my friends. And a friend knoweth what his Lord doeth. Said, I no longer call you servants because a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I tell you everything that my Father reveals to me. You're my friends. I'd lot rather be your friend than your servant. Amen. Everybody smile a little bit. Some of you have lost your pucker. It's not smiling. Right? I'd lot rather be a friend of God than a servant of God. I am serving God by serving the people. Amen. Now, the Bible's a book of pictures. When you study the Bible, it's a mirror. The Holy Ghost is like a mirror. It reveals. And as you study the Word of God, it gives you a picture of God, and it gives you a picture of the devil, and it gives you a picture or a photograph of you, of what God thinks about you. Now, you're going to accept one or more of these positions. You're going to accept what you think about yourself, or you're going to accept what Satan thinks about you, or you're going to accept what God thinks about you. And what you accept is going to be what determines your victory or defeat. If I look at me as what I think about myself in the flesh, I would do very little. Because my flesh is not very high on my flesh. If I looked at me as what the devil thinks about me, I would do nothing. But if I look at me as what God thinks about me, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? How do you look at yourself? The 10 spies said, in our opinion, in our eyes, we were as grasshoppers in their sight. What are you in the sight of the devil? What's your opinion of yourself in the sight of the devil? When the enemy attacks you, what's your opinion? Right? I think there's a lot of people that belongs to the first church of the grasshoppers. You can't run with grasshoppers and soar like eagles. If you're going to soar like eagles, you're going to have to associate with eagles. Amen? But he says, I'm nothing. I'm unworthy. I don't mount anything. People have come to me and said, pray for me. I feel so unworthy. I'm just nothing. Sometimes it's just like stop and ask them a question. Who created you? Did God create you? Did God have anything to do with making you? If he did, God doesn't make any messes. God does not make any mistakes. God never puts together a bunch of junk. This ought to thrill you, but it hasn't touched some of you yet. If God put you together, you got something to be thankful for. One writer said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. Praise the Lord. Don't look at your pocketbook and judge it. Look at God as your creator. God doesn't create cheap merchandise. You're his creation. You have worth. You have value. You're worth something. You're the apple of his eye. He implanted you in the seeds of success. He made you to be successful. He put faith and power in you. We need to act like it. We need to look like it. We need to live like it. We need to talk like it. Somebody says, but Brother Callahan, when you start discussing our financial system and saying we got to tighten up, we got to cut here and we got to cut there, you're not talking faith. Oh, I am too. God gives you wisdom. And you believe God to pull you out of it by doing what you can do. It isn't faith for me to go out here and spend $50,000 and trust God to pay for it when I haven't made no provisions or got no plans from Him. It isn't God's will for me to allow everybody to just spend anything they want to spend and put the budget in the hole and put the church in the hole. My responsibility is to see that we don't overspend what comes in. Hello? And it's not wisdom to say, well, God will provide. Y'all go ahead and spend $100 here and $100 there. And the first thing you know, we don't have money to pay it. That's like going to check the town writing a hot check. That isn't God's plan. That isn't faith. Praise the Lord. I'm not getting too many amens on that line, but I think that you know it's a be the fact. So we need to quit belittling ourselves and brag on the God that's in us. Quit saying I'm stupid, I'm dumb. I've been told that enough by other people, and once in a while it still comes out of my mouth. I don't know anything, I'm dumb anyway. That's the wrong thing to say. Amen? It's terrible to admit we're dumb and stupid. You're not. God created you. God put brains in your head. God put a mind in your brain. God put a will there. God put a heart there. And God put feeling. Give you the five senses. And your intelligence, the highest creation He created. You're above all the other creation of God. Smarter than anything else He created. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. All right? So do you have the mind of Christ? Do you have the mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Let it. Don't stop it. Let it. You can have the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, then you're by no means stupid and dumb, are you? You're intelligent. You're bright. Praise the Lord. So if you say, I have the mind of Christ, and you work toward it, then you'll be amazed how brilliant your mind will work. They say there's no need for mind to ever wear out if you keep using it. What causes minds to wear out, they say, is because people don't study and use them. And parts of them die. And that's from medical science. That's from medical world. So if we have the mind of Christ, then you're no grasshopper. Quit talking like one. Quit looking like one. Quit living like one. Quit hopping around like one. Only thing grasshoppers produce is grasshoppers. They don't produce anything else for anybody that's worth anything. They only eat up things. You've heard people talk about spiritual grasshoppers? They're worthless. All a spiritual grasshopper does is hop on somebody else's vine, eats up the leaves and everything on it, and never produces anything else. Any church that's got something good to eat, they'll hop on it and eat. And then when that runs out, they'll hop somewhere else. God don't even care about spiritual grasshoppers. Everybody take a deep breath. Amen. God wants you to have a vineyard and work in it and produce the fruit that He wants to produce. Isn't that biblical? He said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you may go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit might remain. Spiritual grasshoppers produce spiritual grasshoppers. Praise the Lord. We all go through problems. We all go through trials. And that doesn't mean we've lost out with God. That doesn't mean we're necessarily wrong. But it helps us sometimes to know where we're at and know we're human, right? So there's been times, and I'm sure there've been times in your life, that God has told you it's time to get up and quit praying. There have been times God's told you to start praying. But sometimes our prayer is no more than a whimper and a whine. You ever pray that way? Feeling sorry because, oh, God, you know what problems I've gone through. Lord, you know what trouble I've gone through. And you know how people persecute me. And you know the trouble they're dealing with me. That's a grasshopper syndrome. Man, when we go to God in prayer, we need to go upon the authority of the Word, loving Him, worshiping Him, and acting upon the Word of God. God knows all those things. Sometimes I pray, Brother Hyland, and I stop and realize I'm reminding God of everything that He said. He already knew that. I don't have to tell God what He said. I need to act upon it and then begin to believe God and thank God for it. How do you get your mind off of what you don't have and get your mind on what you can have? How do you change that old grasshopper feeling? Grasshopper complex. You have to go to what God's Word has promised you and begin to agree with it. So when you begin to see that God's promised you things and they're for you, you have to claim them, then something's going to explode in your system. Something's going to cause you and me to say, oh, praise the Lord, look what I've got. Look what God's doing. Now, see, we've let up on some things around here. We've let up on some things. We let up on praying for people to get a job. God still provides jobs. Amen? And God don't intend for His people to have to be at the bottom end of it all the time. But He moves as we claim it and confess it and believe it. So, the grasshopper complex will destroy your faith. It'll stop the faith flow. It'll give Satan a handle on your life. But if you get that giant killer instinct, then faith begins to flow. You get to where you feel, I'm greater than my enemy because God in me is greater than the devil in the world. Well, I am more than a conqueror. I'm not just barely a conqueror, but a more than a conqueror. You're God's house. God lives in you. So you need to quit looking at in the failure photograph. You need to start looking in the success photograph or the album of victories. What you review and think on causes you to feel what you're looking at if you do it long enough. So God's not looking where you stumbled yesterday. But God's looking at your possibilities today. What kind of opportunity we have? Right? Another little wisdom principle says, stop looking at where you have been and start looking at where you can be. Don't look where you've been. Look where you can be, where God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. So, the grasshopper complex, I feel, is what's destroying a lot of things in the church world today. It's paralyzing the faith flow. You'd be surprised people come in the line. Well, even when we have a prayer line right here, people come in the line. Well, they want God to do something, but I'm not worthy of it. I don't feel like that I deserve it. You never will deserve it in the natural. I never will deserve it in the natural. But because we accepted Christ, we become the righteousness of God through Christ. And therefore, we deserve all the good things that God has for us because we took His Son in our life and the life of the Son in our life become our life. Praise the Lord. And therefore, we become the righteousness of God. Don't paralyze our faith. The grasshopper complex will paralyze your faith. It'll stop the praise climate that God intended for us to live in, cause us to create it, and it'll even cause problems to come into the home because of the atmosphere it brings in. When you don't feel good about yourself, you think everybody else feels like you feel. I'm giving you some good teaching, whether you're hooping and hollering or jumping up and down or not. When you don't feel good about yourself, you accept everything everybody else says as the way you're feeling. Your feelings are a lot easier hurt when you're down than they are when you're feeling good. Am I not right? Everybody say you're right. Thank you. I like that. Praise the Lord. All right? There's major opportunities. Everything's not an obstacle. It's amazing sometimes how much God has to allow come to us sometimes to make us see what he's trying to do. See, God wouldn't have to allow a lot of things if we could be sensitive to his spirit and fellowship with him enough we understood him and do it without these problems. God wouldn't have to allow a lot of things to happen. He doesn't send them. They just come because of our reaction, because they're there. It's like a new person moves into town. He don't know where all the stoplights and the go lights are. He gets in a hurry, he's liable to run a stoplight. And it'll cost him. Somebody else coming the other way, it could cost him several $1,000s because he had a wreck, put him in the hospital. He might get by with it a time or two. But if he don't obey the law, it's not the sheriff or the city police or the judge that brought it upon him. It's disobeying the law that brought it upon him. Am I right? So if God's in control, and we've heard that all of our life, but all that God's in control is of his laws and word. He's not in control of my decision. I can run a stop sign if I want to. And most of the time, God won't stop me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I can get sick if I want to. Say, well, God ought to have took care of me. Well, maybe I'm doing something that breaks the laws of nature and got sick on it. It's not God or the devil. I just broke a law and got punished over it. Praise the Lord. Everybody smile again. You quit smiling. Praise the Lord. I want to let you go in about another hour. Praise the Lord. So you see, we're living witness of God. God lives in us. You are a God house. He lives in you. Isn't that biblical? Know you not that your body is a temple of God? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? God dwells in you. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. We destroy the temple of God. God will destroy us with his word or the sword. He won't come down and cut our heads off with a sword, literally. But the word of God is already written. And he just confirms his word. See, God deals with his word. And God fulfills his word. And God carries out his word. And if you're doing something that his word's against, and you hold on to it, you'll be destroyed with the destruction of whatever God's destroying. But if you'll turn loose and call upon God, then God won't destroy you. So I'm not teaching God does this. So we need another little principle of wisdom. We need to stop looking at where we are, where we've been, rather than start looking where we can be and move on with God. Praise the Lord. So there's so many things. We're not going to get near all of them. There's major opportunities we need to take advantage of, not look at them as obstacles. We need to start praising God what we already have and not just what you intend to have. As you're praising what you already have, you'll get more. Talking to one lady one time, she didn't have anything to praise the Lord for. Everything had gone wrong. So I said, let's sit down and start writing all the things that's gone wrong. Let's see. I believe if I remember six or seven things gone wrong, something like that, and it was a little above average, and we started writing what's good, and we wrote about 14 or 15 things that was good and could have wrote more. So, but she was looking at the six or seven, and that's a little bit out of ordinary. When you do that, there generally won't be over 20 or 25%, if that many wrong things, rest of them be good. But we're pronged by the adversary to look at the wrong things. We talk like complainers instead of conquerors. Then we're grasshoppers. We're not grasshoppers when we have the giant killer instinct. The 10 spies talked about the size of the giant, but Joshua and Caleb talked about the size of the grapes. they looked at the fruit again. And I believe we have a right to look at our fruit. And, well, you can tell a grasshopper reaction when you just speak to a person. Hello, Brother Heil. How you doing today? Praise the Lord. That's not a grasshopper syndrome, isn't it? A grasshopper syndrome, well, I'm not feeling very well today. I've had a lot of problems lately. Didn't hardly feel like getting up. Had a headache a long time. And everything's gone wrong. And if you listen long enough, they'll tell you all about the last trip to the doctor and all about their pills and all about the whole family, and everybody's got a problem. And time you get ready to leave, you're not feeling good. Amen? It's kind of like they said, if you want to talk about your grandkids, you got to find somebody that don't have grandkids. If you want to talk about sickness, you got to find somebody that's well and listen at you. Because somebody's got sickness, going to talk about it too, isn't it? I'm not scolding you. I'm saying the more we talk about things, the worse they get. The worse they get. I'm just giving you some facts. Praise the Lord. So there's some people when I greet, I never ask them how they are because I don't have 30 minutes to stand and listen. And I've learned that there's some that's going to tell you, and it's going to take them about 30 minutes to tell you. And they emphasize what's wrong instead of what's right. And some people wouldn't have anything to talk about if everything was right because they don't see it. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be anything but just plain Jane. Just let you see what's in the Word and what. So your words are deciding your future. The grasshopper syndrome likes to talk about how people's treating them. We all get that way. Dear Lord, there's been times I felt like I didn't have a friend. Kind of like the man, woman sat and talked, and he said to his wife, said, honey, it just looks like everybody's backslid but you and me, and said, sometimes I wonder about you. It feels like everybody's wrong. And that's a common thing. Some of the greatest men of God felt that way. Elijah, look what a powerful man he was. But he said, God, everybody's gone but me. I've hidden the cave. I'm not coming out either because I'm the only one living for you. God spoke to him and said, I've got reserved at least 7,000 that's never bowed their knee to Baal. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah had to eat two times from the angel food before he was able to go on his journey. He's so weak. Laid down, went to sleep. The angel woke him up, fed him. He went back to sleep. Got his tummy full, went back to sleep again. Angel woke him up again, fed him again. Then he went on his journey. Sometimes God allows us just to lay down and rest. Work with a lot of boys in the pre-release center. Visit quite a few different guys in jail. But have yet got my first one to say, I was guilty. I got what I deserve. If somebody framed them or somebody else did it and they got caught with them or something, they never say, I did it, I deserved it. And so very few Christians will ever say that they got what they deserve. Grasshopper syndrome justifies the lack of victory. The lack of victory. Well, it's not my fault. I'd pray more if the kids would behave. I'd study more if I didn't have to do all the cooking and washing and ironing. If I didn't have to work on a job like I do, I'd study and pray more. Am I relating with anybody? But I'll tell you what, if we take what the Word says, redeem the time because the days are evil, we all have more time than we realize we have. There's time wasted that we could use for God. Grasshoppers constantly talk about their lack of finances. I know some people you could give $10,000 in 6 months, they'd be broke and back borrowing money off of you again. It doesn't matter how much you gave them. It wouldn't matter what you do for them. They live that way. That's their lifestyle. They're having a hard time regardless of what they've got. I'm thinking of family right now that we hardly ever go to see. Because you feel so bad when you eat up their food because they've had it so hard that you would think they hardly got enough food to eat. And you sat down to eat dinner with them, you're feeling bad, felt like you ought to bring them a grocery pound before you left. Because she can always tell you what a hard time they're having. Doesn't matter what's going on, they're having a hard time, just barely getting by. You got any kin folks or know any friends like that? Huh? Well, some of you do. Well, that's the grasshoppers, man. They refer to their children's ages like this, the terrible twos or the terrible threes. Every age, something wrong with a child. That's just that grasshopper syndrome. But we could say he's in his tremendous twos or tremendous threes. We'd have as much right to call the go light as a stoplight, but we always call them stoplight. They're green as much as they are red. Man, we could be on the positive side. I'm not saying it's easy to do this, but to enjoy life, we need to change some thinking and some conversation pieces, and we need to get rid of the grasshopper complex and get a giant killer mentality. You'll never, I'm going to drop something on you right here. Somebody don't like this preacher. Somebody don't like this church. And they always got a bad report about it. You'll never rise above it if you continue to associate with them. You have to get away from that atmosphere to live above it. Amen? Some people's always saying, well, I love you and Sister Callahan, but I don't know about this. And that's kind of like coming home and saying, I love you, but I hate your kids. No. If you don't like somebody's kids, they don't care whether you like them or not. Am I right? I don't people come and eat with me. It's talking about my two sons and one daughter like the dogs, and they don't like them. They're rascals, but I sure do like you and Sister Kelly. Hello out there. No, it's not easy. But it sure is a better way of life. It means that we'll have to make up our mind to change. It means we'll not listen to garbage. God didn't put these two ears on my head and turn them down here to listen to garbage. They're floppy, but he made them to hear. But he didn't make them to hear garbage. Somebody said, somebody's always coming to me with a bad story. You know the reason? You listen to them. People won't come talk about bad things, fill your ears full if you don't listen. And sometimes open rebuke is better than secret love. That's what the word says. Sometimes it's better to say, I don't have time to listen to you. You have to make up your mind that you can change. But God has given us the power to change if we'll take it. The power to direct our thinking, the power to change our actions, the power to make up our mind, that we'll destroy the grasshopper complex and we'll reinforce a giant killer mentality by studying the Word of God, by choosing the right friendships, by building the right relationships that will build faith in your life. Something Satan will do if we don't watch him. Lady said to me tonight, said, I'm teaching in two or three places and they want me to teach in another. I've got about all I'm saying. I said, don't do it. You've got to have some times that the people deposit into your life. See? And if we don't watch in a church, we get a good worker and put them into where they're in so many positions they don't ever get anything given to them, and they get it all drawn out of them. It's not long till they throw up their hands and quit. And we shouldn't do that. You department heads and leaders, somebody's got a couple of jobs, don't get them in another one. Don't put them to work somewhere else. Let them have some time to relax and time to draw from themselves. Reinforce that giant killer spirit. Get choosy. Get selective. Get picky with who you associate with and who's your closest bosom buddies. Buddy buddies or whatever. If I make a goof, Sister Callahan will notice it. Well, you know what a booty is anyway. We need to discipline our music. I'm trying to get the place to stop. Even discipline your television viewing. Oh, now, Brother Callahan, I'll tell you what. Now, no wonder some Christians don't have the victory. The ungodly programs to watch. It's bad enough to watch one that just has the mild words like H-E-L-L and D-A-M-N. That's on nearly everyone you turn on, the crazy thing. But when you get into one that's really not been screened, and some Christians rent those movies and bring them in the house for their kids to listen to and say, what a good movie. But what's it feeding our mind? Bad enough for adults to watch it, but what are you putting in your kids' mind when you have that kind of stuff? What are you allowing? We need to use material to build up self-confidence. Build up your dependency on the Lord. Build up your life of the Spirit. We need to dare to become assertive to spiritual things. Dare to step out by faith. Dare to believe God for new mentality. Dare to be positive about life. Dare to step up, and not down. Dare to move forward. Dare to have power in a life with God. Dare to believe God. You need to enter into the winner's world. And God created winners. Every born-again believer ought to be a winner, not a loser. God never takes away good things. He adds to. If you got good things, He'll add to it. Praise the Lord. We were born to taste the grapes. We're born to eat the fruit. We're born to partake of God's creation. Amen? We weren't born to be beggars. David said, I was once young and now I'm old. I've never seen God's seed forsaken or his children begging bread. I still believe we can claim that God will provide as long as we furnish the will and heart and the able body. God will provide. Amen? Do you have a need tonight? Is there a need in this building? I'm going to step down front here. The house will come with me. Whatever you need, this is Wednesday night. God's just as big on Wednesday night as he is Sunday or Sunday morning. In closing, you need a job. You need help. If you're willing to change your thinking, God's willing to change your life. Amen? What do you need? Are you where God wants you? Everybody stand with us. Praise the Lord. Everybody has everything they need? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. If you do, you ought to be shouting to where they could hear you 2 blocks away, praising God for it. Think about what I've taught on tonight. Think about what I've taught on. What are you going to do for God tomorrow? When you come in tomorrow night, what can you write down? What could you chalk down that you did worth something for God? Every day, we ought to be establishing something worth something for God. Work on people. Build people. The only two things that's going to last is God's word. God's people. They're going to live forever. And we have a right to use both of them and work on both of them. Let's do it.